This thing on? Of course it's on. Welcome to the Shaw's Law Podcast. You know who I am and what I do. Rob Shaw, a.k.a. the Pod God, a.k.a. Harry Potter. And we have concluded all game ones of the first round of the NBA playoffs. So we're going to talk about those today. And, I mean, it's me, y'all. Your favorite rapper's favorite podcaster. So let's jump into the best game of the playoffs thus far. 7 seed Brooklyn Nets, 2 seed Boston Celtics. And this is, I hate the term instant classic, but that might really be what this was. Celtics win 115-114. Jason Tatum has 31-8. Jaylen Brown with 23-5. Al Horford turns back the hands of time and has 20-15. Marcus Smart continues his stellar play on both ends of the court, finishes with 20 points, 7 rebounds, and 6 assists, including the game-winning assist to Jason Tatum on a cool play where Ime Udoka doesn't call a timeout after the Celtics got a massive stop versus the Nets. We were a Marcus Smart bad shot on the last possession away from this game being known as the Kyrie Irving game, because Kyrie was dragging his dick through the streets of Boston. He had 39 points. He was 6 of 10 from deep. But, like, not only was he giving the Boston Celtics hell on offense, he was giving it to the fans every chance he got. Coming into the tunnel at halftime, some fan is like, "Yo, Kyrie, you suck." Kyrie let a Frank fly right off the rip. Just sent some right to the Frank stand. "Hey, yo, suck my dick. I fucks with that. Stop talking to these niggas like that." Somebody else said something to Kyrie when Kyrie's on, not at the free throw line, but he's in one of the blocks along the free throw line. Somebody said something. Kyrie, you're pussy. Kyrie hits a big 2 in the corner and gives the fans the bird. There's another clip of him pretending to itch behind his head, and it's a double Larry legend. He was just giving it up crazy. Like, those fans don't like him. And him and Durant are the two players in the league. Well, I guess there's other ones. Devin Booker's kind of like this, like, where you say something to him, he's firing back, like, immediately. Like almost like you're at the park. Like, somebody on the sideline says something to you at the park, and you just fire back with, "Shut up," or whatever. Durant, Booker, and Kyrie are guys that just, like, the cameras just catch them. Durant and Kyrie particularly. But, like, Booker's in that group where the cameras just catch them just giving it back to the fans crazy. And I know it's going to cost Kyrie some money. Like, those fingers are gonna pay for some charity, something great, because he's going to get fined. He's going to get fined. My guess is, if they see all the stuff I saw, upward of $100,000 would just be my guess. Like, the finger to the crowd, the "I'm itching my head" middle finger. The suck my dick thing might not get anything because he's in the tunnel or whatever, but those middle fingers on ABC, which is a Disney affiliate, oh, are those not going to fly? Not going to get it done, Byrie. Not going to get it done at all. But he was hooping. We need to give Jason Tatum credit. He had KD locked in the fifth level of hell damn near all game. Like, even when KD hit a big shot, it was on, like, a broken play, and it looked all weird, and then it didn't even go in clean. It got, like, a nice bounce. What happens? He drives hard left, stumbles a little bit, loses it, and now he's on the left baseline, and he just, like, knocks down a 15-footer. But for the game, Durant is 9 of 24. That's just not going to cut it on a team that's so offensively challenged outside of Durant and Kyrie. They got good minutes out of Dragic. 26 minutes, he had 14 points. 26 minutes out of Dragic feels like too much for me. At one point, Steve Nash had a Dragic, Kyrie, Patty Mills lineup out there with maybe Durant and Claxton. That's not going to get it done. It's too tiny. It's too poor defensively. And then there's just... That's way too much Dragic minutes. The backup point guard has been an Achilles heel for the Nets for the past 2 years, where like they're grabbing players late in the season and throwing them in big minutes at backup point guard. Last year, it was Mike James, who I absolutely love. I love Mike James as a hooper. But he comes in mid-February, and then he's getting like all these backup minutes at point guard. This year, they get Dragic after Dragic sat in Toronto and didn't play all year. And now, in game one of the playoffs, he's 26 minutes, and he took like 12 shots or something. How many shots did he take? He took 11 shots. This isn't Heat Dragic or Phoenix Dragic. That's a lot for him. That's actually the third most on the team. Nick Claxton missed two ginormous free throws, and he's not a good free throw shooter, so it's expected. But those left the door open. The last possession, Kyrie may have held the ball just a little too long. Shout out to Adam Williams. That's something that Adam brought up when we spoke almost directly after the game. And I think he might be right. Like, it might have just been a little bit too long. He has to dump it out to KD really late in the shot clock. And that's a shot KD can hit, but it's a tough shot. And it's a night where KD's not really in rhythm. So it was a great basketball game. I'm excited to see some of the other adjustments. I want to see how the Nets try and free up Durant a little bit more outside of straight isolations. I'd love to see more inverted pick and rolls. I'd love to see Kyrie set some screens for Durant, or even Patty Mills or Seth Curry. Let some of those smaller spot up dudes set screens and see if we can force the switch. And then, like, it's find the weirdo, like find the weak guy and attack him, particularly with like Mills and Curry's defenders, because they're probably going to be smaller guys, on top of the fact that both of those guys can really shoot the pill. So maybe two of them stick to them as screeners and Durant's free, or two stay with Durant because he's, you know, Kevin Durant. And now those are clean looks for Seth and Patty. The Nets were down 15 in this game and took the lead late, and it looked like they were going to win. So shout out to the Celtics for fighting to keep a game that they had, for almost winning that game twice, essentially. Like, they were up 15, blew that lead, and then had to win it again. Game winners are always cool. This one from like just... Like for me, I'm a sucker for the ISO at the top, get to my spot, or get by my guy one-on-one game winner. But like, Jason Tatum makes a beautiful cut after Marcus Smart pump fakes and splits two defenders. And Smart throws a dime. Durant falls asleep, and that's how Tatum's open. But it's never good to fall asleep as a defender, but like, I understand how that happens. Like, in that situation, most people think Smart is, if he's not shooting the first three, he's definitely shooting the pull-up jumper after he splits between the two defenders. Like, he's walking into a 17, 18-foot jumper. But instead, Tatum makes a cut at the perfect time. And Smart, true to his word from the beginning of the season, hey, we need guys that are willing to make the right pass, makes the right pass, game winner. Celtics up 1-0, best game of the series of the playoffs so far. And like, we'll jump around, but outside of how great that game was, the story for the first day of the NBA playoffs was NBA Young Boys. Like, some of these young players just got in the spotlight and went crazy. We're going to go to Minnesota and Memphis because this features two of the young guys that like really, really did get after it. But just first, there was some discourse about Minnesota being super excited to win the play-in game. And I'm pretty sure I've done a good job of not cursing. Like, we're 10 minutes in and I don't think I've cursed. That's about to end real quick because you guys make me sick. You guys want your athletes to care about winning. Minnesota hasn't won shit since... They haven't won anything significant since Kevin Garnett was there. But they've been to the playoff once since KG left. And that was a expedient first-round exit to the James Harden Rockets. And then they finally get back in the playoffs and they're excited. And you goofy motherfuckers start typing out things like, oh my God, I can't believe they're so excited. It's just making the playoffs. Why are they so happy? Y'all niggas can't have it both ways, man. You either want your athletes to care about winning and want to be in the playoffs in big situations, or you guys don't want your athletes to care and we can get nonchalant basketball where everybody out there acts like Ben Simmons, like, damn, this is a job, this is a paycheck, punch in, punch out, I don't really care what happens. But y'all can't have it both ways. I can't believe that there were people hating on a team for being excited to play postseason basketball. We're talking about a league where we've heard teams literally at the end of the season when they know their season is over, get in the huddle and say, 1-2-3 Cancun. Like, 1-2-3, we're going on vacation after this game. And then you guys are going to complain about a team being excited for winning and playing postseason basketball? I'm going to say this in the most clear way possible. If you don't think teams should be excited about, particularly young teams that have never been there, led by two really young kids in Towns, who's not as young, but Edwards is in his second year. Like, if you don't think those kinds of teams should be excited about making the postseason, stop watching sports. Like, pick up a new hobby. Go fucking crochet or some shit. Knit, build puzzles. But stop watching sports because you obviously don't get what the fuck is going on here. And that's fine. That's not for everybody. But, and actually, I can't tell you to not watch sports. But don't fucking talk sports with me because I'm going to tell you shut the fuck up. Like, that's just going to be that. It's not going to be delicate or diplomatic. If you are mad about teams being excited about making the playoffs in a league where we have, one more time, literally heard teams put their hands in the huddle at the end of the season when they know their season is over and say, 1-2-3 Cancun. I'm going to need you to shut the fuck up. I'm going to need you to take a tall glass of shut the fuck up. And on top of that, after the Timberwolves celebrated by beating the Clippers and Pat Bev talked his shit, you know what they did? They walked into motherfucking Memphis, the 2 seed, and they got a big win. Anthony Edwards had 36 points, and they gave the stat that like somebody, Luka had 42 points. Shout out to Luka Doncic, and that's the highest point total in a playoff debut. But when I watched Anthony Edwards drop his 36, you know who he reminded me of? He reminded me of Derrick Rose in his first playoff game against the Boston Celtics, where he had 36 points and let his dick hang. Karl Anthony Towns had a bad play-in game. 12 points, fouled out. He came back to this one with 29 points, 13 rebounds. He dunked Jaren Jackson Jr. into the matrix so hard that JJJ pushed another Timberwolf and got a technical. He ain't even pushed Towns. He just saw the first Timber, after like he stopped seeing stars after Towns dunked him into the matrix, the first Timberwolf he saw, he just pushed him, caught a tech. That series is going to be incredibly fun. So Anthony Edwards is one of our NBA young boys who went crazy. Also, under the radar, Malik Beasley had 23 points, and he's just been a bucket since he was at Florida State. Like, he's just been a bucket, a bucket, and a bucket. And I just, it's great to see him thriving. You guys remember he was out there on house arrest. He was down bad at a point. He was on goofball time for a minute. So it's nice to see him have a big playoff game. John Morant is another one of our NBA young boys who went crazy. He had 32 points, and his dad and Karl Anthony Towns' dad had this really cool ESPN exchange, like where Ja's dad is like, yo, we not ducking no smoke. And Kat's dad's like, the fuck is you talking? Neither are we. What you want to do? And like, they're just like, they shake hands and they dap up at the middle. And like, they're, it's two black dads just super proud of their sons. Not that their sons are NBA superstars, but just that my sons made it here and I'm here and I'm going to be supportive in the most positive way I can. And I loved every second of that. If there's longer pauses than usual between certain things, it's because I'm trying to actually drink my water instead of clearing my throat and coughing. Because when I listen back, the throat clearing is disgusting. I can't believe you guys haven't yelled at me for it. It's nasty, nasty, nasty. And I'm trying to not have that. So some of these breaks will be me just drinking water so I don't clear my throat. Dylan Brooks and Pat Beverly getting into some sort of altercation I need to be able to bet that on FanDuel. And it would be, the odds probably wouldn't be in our favor. It would not be the Hunger Games. Like, if you wanted to bet that, I want to say it'd be like -110. You'd have to bet $110 to win 100. Because like, the way those two dudes are wired and how physical they play, mixed in with how physical playoff basketball can be, there's no way that those two dudes don't get into some sort of kerfuffle at best. Or at worst. No, at best it's a kerfuffle. At worst, they really get into the action. That was a really good game. Jazz Mavericks. Until Luka comes back, this is the NBA TV special. This game will be on NBA TV just because there's Donovan Mitchell, but without Luka, the Mavs have no star power, really. Really sucks that Luka won't be back for game two. And there's a high likelihood that he is going to wind up not making it out of the first round. Because if they go down 0-2, that's really tough to come back from. You have to beat this team four times before they beat you twice. It's a lot. But that was a throat clear, and it's probably going to sound gross. I'm mad we're getting robbed of watching Luka. The Mavs almost came back and won this. The Jazz have had a history this year of blowing big leads. Donovan Mitchell was the best offensive player on the court. Like, Rudy Gobert had 5 points and 17 rebounds, but was super duper effective in affecting shots in the Jazz, and the Mavs offense. But that's because they don't have an offensive ready-made superstar right now. Like, I'd love to see what that looks like when it's Luka pulling him out near away from the basket in space instead of Jalen Brunson and Spencer Dinwiddie. Like, Dinwiddie and Brunson are two very good players. Luka's a top 7 guy in the league, or a top 10 guy in the league. Like, there's levels to this shit. So Luka not being in the mix is probably going to save the Jazz from blowing it all up, unless they get smoked in the next round, which is a possibility. The Raptors and 76ers feature our third NBA young boy, my boy Tyrese Maxey. Y'all know what's coming. You know what sound that is. Tyrese Maxey had 38 points in his playoff debut. No, I'm sorry, not his playoff debut. But he had 38 points in the first game of the playoffs for the Philadelphia 76ers. And his dick was on the table. Dick on the table moment, Tyrese Maxey. He looked like the best player on the floor for long stretches. It's super interesting because some of his matchup is going to be Fred VanVleet. Fred picked up two early fouls, and I think that sort of set the tone for his night. I wonder how many fouls he actually finished. Fred VanVleet actually fouls out. Like, it's just not the right night. The big news here is that Scotty Barnes got hurt. Joel Embiid sort of landed on his ankle, and Barnes won't be available for game two. That just doesn't bode well for the Raptors. They're already a relatively tiny team. At least Barnes is a big wing. They didn't start anybody who was over like 6'10 or whatever. It's just a tiny team without. And then Barnes does so much playmaking and he can create his own shot. As a rookie, he is a irreplaceable piece of this team. And I'm wishing him a speedy recovery. I thought that this series had potential to be really, really good. And I'm not ruling that out yet. Matisse Thybulle played 18 minutes. That's something to keep an eye on because games one and two will be in Philly. But because of Thybulle's vaccination status, he only has one shot instead of two. He's not able to play in Toronto. So I believe that's why Danny Green actually wound up starting for him, because they want to keep some lineup consistency. And with Thybulle not being able to play at least half of the games in the series, it makes sense to start somebody else because Thybulle's going to be doing the same thing as the rest of us when the games move to Toronto. But I don't even want to skip Maxey's moment because it was so good. Like, he hit deep threes. Towards the end, he was like sort of pressing, trying to get a 40 ball. And I get that. Like, who wouldn't want to say, yo, I had a 40 ball in the playoffs? But a lot of it was flow of the offense stuff. Cuts, layups in transition, catch and shoot threes. Threes versus the mismatch. Oh, we got the switch. We like this matchup. Now you can attack it. That's Tyrese Maxey's a Kentucky guy, so you know I love that. On top of the fact that, of course, I'm going to bring up the Stansfields. First time we got together, we talked about Tyrese Maxey after the draft, and I said, this dude is just a gamer. If the game is on national TV, expect him to show up. Hey, ginormous game to open the playoffs. He had a big game where he may have saved Philly's season last year in the playoffs with like a 20-point game. I don't remember what round, but he definitely had a big playoff game last year. But this year, he was second on my most improved player ballot, right behind Darius Garland and right before our fourth NBA young boy, Jordan Poole, who helped lead the Warriors to a 123-107 win over the Nuggets. Jordan Poole, he had 30 points in a game where Steph just came back and looked a little bit rusty, but got better as the game was going on. But Jordan Poole was just spectacular. He was 5-7 from deep. He looked like the third Splash Brother. From a Nuggets perspective, Jokic did what he's supposed to do. I don't think they have enough firepower. And I think we are heading towards one of those goofy years where the league MVP gets knocked out in the first round and then it looks so stupid. Like, it looks so dumb for the league MVP to get knocked out in the first round, especially when they're doing the, hey, we are bringing the trophy to your arena. and then you're knocked out, so you go accept your trophy in, you just go to the empty arena and do like a press conference with the trophy instead of getting your trophy in front of a rabid home crowd that gets to cheer you on. It makes the league look dumb. Like, rookie of the... It's a bad look. Like, it's a regular season award, and we're in a technology age, so I don't understand why this award can't be given out by the end of the first round to avoid these stupid-ass situations. Like, tally the votes, engrave the trophy, and get that bitch to Jokic before he has to go accept the league's most valuable player in street clothes. Please. As far as this series, I might bet the Warriors every game. I just don't think Denver has enough. Aaron Gordon, Monty Morris, Will Barton, like, they're all nice players, but like, they're not supposed to be your second and third option. There's little murmurings that maybe Jamal Murray can come back for at some point in this series. I mean, I would bet to see him before Ben Simmons, but that's not really all that appealing. I didn't say anything super special here. But that is the four NBA young boys, and that's definitely what I'm going to call this episode because I think it's a funny pun. It's punny. Jordan Poole, Ja Morant, Anthony Edwards, and Tyrese Maxey. And three of them did it in a win for their team. Ja Morant's the only one who took an L, but he was facing Anthony Edwards, so one of them had to take a loss. In the other games, what else am I missing? Oh, Pelicans, Suns. The Pelicans... The Zion situation is still weird, but what I would like to say is something that my brother pointed out, and I haven't heard a lot of people in the national media say it. They definitely didn't say it before him, but my brother Jordan said this to me, and then I actually heard Bill Simmons go on a little rant about it, and I was like, damn, he stole that from Yosh. The Pelicans have drafted well and have a nice core if Zion ever decides to not be a fat fuck and play basketball again. You have Brandon Ingram, who's been an all-star. You have CJ McCollum, who's probably the best player in the league that has never been an all-star. You have Murphy out of UVA, who can really shoot it. You have Herb Jones with a pretty lefty stroke, and he's long. Like, that dude is like Mr. Fantastic. He's just a long-armed defender. Like, it's a nice core for Zion, Jackson Hayes. It's a good looking core, and like, when is Zion gonna come back? What are the Pelicans waiting for? You are now in the playoffs. Do you just not want him to play? Because from my understanding, it is the Pelicans slowing up the process of this dude hooping, not Zion. And I could be wrong. I don't have inside information. But that is what people who have read about it and are a little bit more versed than me have explained. I don't think they can beat the Suns, but I think this series is 10 times more interesting if you just throw in the wrinkle of Zion. Like, I know he hasn't played with these guys all season. He's never played with CJ or Herb Jones or Murphy, but him and Ingram had decent chemistry. And, like, I think that it's always going to be hard for that to fall apart because they're both Dukies. They're both Duke guys. So that brotherhood should lead them to work through a lot of what could be basketball issues. It's awesome seeing Willie Green have success as a head coach after the terribly slow start that the Pelicans had. They had a really bad start, like 3-13 or something nasty. He hasn't had access to his best player all year, and yet he still got them into the playoffs. Did they get a little bit of help by Paul George going into health and safety protocol before the last play-in game? Yes, but you put yourself in that position by winning a game before that. So, like, you got to play. You play who's in front of you. They did that. This was a super dope Chris Paul game. Devin Booker came out the gates really hot. Phoenix looks really, really good. I think that's who I would take to come out of the West. I do think Phoenix and Golden State would be a incredibly fun series. Like Chris Paul and Steph again, Book and Clay matching up, Jordan Poole and Mikal Bridges. Like it, JaVale McGee is a former Warrior. Now he's with the Suns. There's just a lot to like in that potential matchup. I haven't even looked at the bracket enough to know if that's something that could shape up and happen, but I would really enjoy that. And Bulls-Bucks sort of sucked. Like it was maybe it's just that I don't enjoy watching the Bucks play, but it wasn't a great game. DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine, neither of them shot well, and they still really had a chance. Like the Bulls gave this one away. They got, at one point, they had almost 10 more shots in the fourth quarter than the Bucks, but they were 1 of 15, and the Bucks were like 1 of 6 or 1 of 8. And it's just, like, if you're getting that many more shots, you have to capitalize on those opportunities, particularly as the underdog. I don't even think this will be a long series. Like, I think this is Bucks in 5. I wasn't overly impressed with anybody outside of Giannis, and his game is still ugly, but you just can't stop him. I don't have a ton to say about that game. Like, it ain't move me. Hawks Heat was a really bad Trae Young game. I thought the Hawks got the raw end of the stick with playing Friday and then being the 1 o'clock game on Sunday. Like that's rough. That's a short turnaround for what's going to be playoff basketball on the road. That's not ideal. I think game two will be a better showing. I still think the Heat are the better team, but I wouldn't be surprised if we got like a really explosive Trae Young game. And that's everything. Like, I wanted to keep this short because it's late. It's later on Monday. And by the time some of you hear this, we'll have outcomes of some game twos. So I'm just going to keep it short and get this out. I appreciate you guys listening. Please always remember to tell a friend to tell a friend. But this has been the Shaw's Law Podcast. And like that, we out.